Hello, do we have anyone on the line?
This is Linda Thurston.
And
hi,
this
Linda.
Is Jill Lockemeyer.
Hi, Jill.
Hey, good afternoon.
Okay, well, we're going to quickly just start with a few things that we have to kind of report. I think Bill started the conversation the last time, so I'm going to let him roll with that right now in terms of the first few questions or statements. The only statement that I have right now is to remind everyone that you do need to be sure to complete the questions in your KISA application of questions 15 and 16 right after your visit, and then be sure to submit that to us after the visit. We've been having some questions about how to print out the KISA reports in order to be able to send them to the chairs. And the reports come out as a PDF. And so with all the PDFs, normally, if you go down to the bottom of the page, you have a print, save, et cetera function that then you can go ahead and either save it on your desktop and send it through an email or print it out and then mail it to the chair. So those are the two things that I want to update you on. And then I'm going to let Bill talk about the other piece.
So I think are there just two of you on there now, just Linda and Jill, is that correct? I think so.
I think so.
So Linda, you're in year five, correct? Central Heights?
Yes, uh-huh.
And then Jill, you're year four?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So I think I'll do this just a little bit differently. I'll just speak to two of you individually. You
Abilene's
already have.
Not here too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's that?
Abilene.
Oh, hi, Abilene.
Chris.
Okay.
Hi, Jeanette.
So here are the things that are really the no-brainers. Then you should have had a conversation, the chair and the system, to select a date for the OBP visit this spring, create an agenda, contact the OBT and let them know all the details, and then the system would give the chair some bit of information to help them prepare for the visit in the spring. Is everybody good with that and beyond that part?
Yeah, we're good to go.
Okay. So then when the visit takes place, if you're a year five, what we have asked, and I'll ask Linda because she's there. Linda, have you had your visit yet, or are you still yet to have a visit?
Our chair has been here,
okay.
But the team comes March 16th.
Okay, that's good. So in this case, with the staggered implementation year, we would hope that shortly after that visit, and we'll be talking with you individually here in the next couple of weeks, I mean weekly, helping you understand what it is that we need to get you there, that time frame will work. So when you're in year one, two, three, and four, there's some flexibility in when you actually have those outside visitation team visits. You know, we had said, because we were asked, sometime between March 15th and April 15th is fine. But when you get into year five, and the ARC, who is going to ultimately look at all of your evidence and artifacts to make a recommendation, if they're meeting in anywhere from the middle part of April to the 1st of May, and it will vary a little bit for different reasons, by year five, we would want your information earlier and your visit to have occurred earlier so we can have all the information we need from you so we can provide that to the ARC. Not the dates are not that big a deal in the first 4 years because you're not in your accreditation year where we have to have that. So is everybody good with that, with that date? It's a strong recommendation, but a soft date on when you meet and how you do that. Is everybody good with that part?
For years one through four.
Yeah.
And okay. Phil, is it okay? I mean, we're March 16th. We're still within plenty of time.
You're fine, and you're going to get some preferential treatment because this year we have so few systems that are seeking accreditation this year. So that's not an issue. As a matter of fact, at our last ARC meeting, which was here just a week or so ago, we pushed back that meeting a little bit just so that we had plenty of time to get all the information so they could do their work to come up with a recommendation. So, you know, again, we've said this many times, Jeanette and I both, is we're all doing a little learning here on what's the best way. You know, we've never changed course of what we needed to do, but how to best do it and what some of the dates were and some of the challenges that systems were having or recommendations that they've made, we've tried to be flexible with that. So I think we're in pretty good shape with that. So, Jeanette, that's sort of the topics that were the dates, the agendas, the responsibilities, and some of those things.
So based on the questions that we've been getting for these last couple of weeks from systems, we thought that those were the main topics to kind of cover because those have been the questions that we've been getting. So we wanted to be able to address it with everyone just in case people felt uncomfortable by saying, man, I should already know this. I don't dare ask the question. But based on calls that we've, like I said, based on calls and emails, we've been getting those kind of questions. Should I already have my visit scheduled? Should I have been talking to my chair? Who does the agenda? And so we wanted to be able to just make sure that you know that agenda planned with your chair, it should be a joint venture based on the information that you have. What's in the workbook in terms of a sample agenda is just that, a sample agenda. So if there are any areas in there that you think, oh, we don't really need to have 15 minutes or 20 minutes for this, we can do this in less, we can collapse these areas, that would be fine. Make sure that the agenda fits what you need to present to your visiting team.
A clarification, I'm wondering about one of the things on the sample agenda are some focus groups. And I know through the Accreditation Council we talked a little bit about focus groups last time, but is that something that needs to really be – do we have freedom and flexibility a little bit to design how that looks? Is that a required component or just a highly suggested one?
Well, how those groups look, you have all the flexibility in the world in how they are. The idea there is stakeholders having an opportunity to have input, the OVT and the chair being able to determine the amount of transparency in the district-wide effort. You know, nobody wants this to be a dog and pony show and for just system leadership just to provide some data for the ARC and move on. You know, this is truly intended to be, and you know, Jill, you've done a lot of good work in this area in your district and serving on the advisory council, that we want the more people that are involved, the more transparent it is, the better process. So that's really the essence of the focus groups. And for the others that haven't maybe been in those conversations, those focus groups will take on a different look depending on the size of your system in a lot of respects. If you're a Wichita, KCK, or Topeka, you'll have representatives from maybe several elementary schools representing all elementary. If you're in a small K-12 system in one building, you may have one or two people from elementary, middle, and high, and that's a focus. So, you know, there's no preconceived notion of what they look like, just if they make sense to contribute and understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue of transparency is a good one. I think that when you talk about focus groups, if we think about what we're trying to do with KISA at the system level, it's a different approach versus a school-by-school approach. If you think about what's happening around the state with the redesign movement, then what we want to take a look at these focus groups is that if your district is looking at different ways to look at education of making change as a result of what you are selecting as goals, you probably want to be sure that you have buy-in from parents and community and others in terms of what those changes might be. Well, what we want to be able to have with those focus groups is to know that they understand the process and that they're in that process with you as well. And so focus groups help build your foundation in terms of what you're wanting to do as a district. And so it will then give you an idea. I mean, if you bring a focus group together and they don't know what the district is doing, it will tell you as a district that there's some PR things that need to happen, because people are not aware of it. So then how do you know that you're going to create change? Or if people are not buying into that, if the community's not buying into it, if parents are not buying into it. So it's a way of being transparent with community, parents, and other stakeholders.
Thank you. Yes. I agree with everything both of you said. I was just, as I'm mulling around different ideas for the agenda, I'm just trying to think, we have our district leadership team, our district site council team, and I obviously am having those people be heavily involved. I'm just trying to figure out, in the essence of time, if I should just have those stakeholders, those focus groups people, if you will, there the entire day just to help tell the story, or if I should have a smaller group of stakeholder groups there that are kind of there for the whole day and then invite other people in so they can hear more voices along the day. So I'm just trying to figure out how that might work in my head.
Yeah. Either way is really fine. I just want you to make sure that you are also honoring people's time as well. I mean, because you could have some focus groups that they might not be able to give you the entire day, you know. So just be conscious. Now, you might have people who are more than willing to do that and be there, but a lot of times when we've thought about focus groups, bless you, we have thought about a group that kind of comes in to have a focused discussion about something. So you might want to think about that and who do you select. I know that when I go in as a chair, many times I've gone in as chairs, one of the questions that I always ask the focus groups is, how did you get selected? You know, because we can bring in people that we know, but are there people in there that came in because they're just interested in the process and they want to learn? It says a lot about the school and their involvement and the trust and things like that. So same thing happens with students, I think. Sometimes we end up selecting the cream of the crop to come in, and we really want to have all types of voices. So a representation of your community, of your district, of your schools.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
We're applying pressure to you all by being silent on our end.
Abilene, what year are you guys in? I can't remember. Are you year 4 or 5?
4.
And then
we're year 4.
Year 4. Okay.
Year 4.
We have our visit scheduled for March 29th.
That's great. We because of schedules of the people, we are actually not able to do ours until April 27th. But as a year four, I'm not anticipating that that's going to be a problem, is it, Jeanette or Bill?
No. One of the things that I'm seeing.
What was it, Chris?
We met with our chair, Denise Brown, and kind of wrote up a summary. I believe she was going to send that to you guys to see what you thought, because we're trying to capture the last 3.5 years of school improvement to for the team. So we're just kind of making that up as we go, trying to figure out how to do that for sure. So I don't know if she sent you that or not, but we have annual reviews of our plan and things like that we've submitted to her.
We haven't. I haven't heard. I don't know. Jeanette, have you heard from her?
I have not at this time. But then I have some emails I haven't gotten to either. So.
Okay. Well, that was just about a week ago we met with her. So.
Okay.
She may be still waiting on documentation.
We also, that'll be very helpful to this group of 4 and 5 systems. On March 15th, we will have the updated report in the authenticated applications where you have filled out the initial report, and this will be the final look, an update to that report. So all the information that you originally put in there, you'll put the, you know, it's kind of the before and after snapshot, if you will, where you were at the beginning, even though it was a year or 2 years, it was year 4 and 5. And then at the end, and a lot of these things that Jeanette and I have been talking to you about and describing, I think will become much more clear when you see that report, because it starts tying it all together. I know it certainly has for me in looking at it and knowing what that is now that we've got that piece designed and mostly figured out. It's easier for us to give you answers and answer some questions on how things may look. So that'll be coming here in just a short period of time. It'll be in production March 15th, and certainly those of you who are year 4 and 5, I would anticipate, will be getting out to you in a hurry and walking you through that as quickly as possible to let you know that it's there and complete it and how that looks.
Yeah, so, Linda, you might not have it ready for your visit because your visit is March 16th. So you might not have been able to fill that out by that time. And so that's okay. We just would ask you to complete it after the visit. We need as much information as we can to compare and see how it's being done and, you know, whether it'll help us just improve it as we move on to other years. For year 4, we would like you to go in and take a look at it, because although you won't be completing it this year, it will be something that you're going to complete next year. And so that way you'll have a general idea of what the expectation is, at least in terms of that KISA application, for you as a year 5 next year.
But we do go ahead and complete section 15 and 16 and then submit that to you after the visit?
That is correct.
Okay, but then there's just a year 5 web apps that we'll fill out after year 5?
Right. There'll be a final, there'll be a KISA application, a final report that will be done. So, for instance, Linda, who's a year 5 a school now, a district now, she will, after the visit, go in and finish completing that initial report with 15.1 and 16. But in addition to that, she's going to complete then that final KISA report as well. So she'll have one full report and 2 questions from the initial report. You all won't have that because you'll finish that initial report during this year, and then next year the only thing you're going to be completing is really the final report.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the final report is different than the initial report that we look at right now.
Yes.
Okay.
And the final report, go ahead.
And that initial report the final report will look a little bit different. Is that?
It will, yeah. It's going to ask you some of the same questions because it's supposed to be a comparison. For year five, it's going to be a little awkward, if you will. But years one through four, it'll probably make a little bit more sense to them because they will have completed it based on where they're at now. And then when it comes their final year, they're going to complete it based on where they are at the end of the five-year cycle. So for you, if you completed that initial report already, 1 through 15.1, then you completed that based on where you are, what kind of goals you were selected and those pieces. And then now when the final report comes in, you're going to complete it based on, in some cases it might be the same thing because it's the same year, but in some instances it might be, here's where I started, at least I selected these two goals now, but in year five, after having selected the goals, looked at my needs assessment and all those pieces, I really think that in the next cycle, these are the areas that I need to go through and focus on. So you might be reading those questions a little bit differently.
Well, okay, that helps because we have been kind of doing that this year because we finished up and now we say, oh, we know where we need to go starting next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the final report will give us that opportunity to look at those areas.
Yeah, you should then be able to answer those questions based on knowing where you're going in the following year. Yeah.
Okay. That will be good. So
does year one look different than the next cycle that it would if you were year one this year?
Well, right now it's not going to look vastly different, but your approach may be a little different. For example, in year one and two, where you're establishing your leadership teams, your site councils, and so on, you may need to or want to modify those. There may be people who come and go. There may be some more training. You've got new staff members. Some of those sort of things. The thing that we've talked about here quite a bit and haven't made any decisions on is a big part of the first 2 years, of course, is your needs assessment. Well, if you've just finished a cycle, a five-year cycle, and in this case, if you're year four and five, we're going to say when you're finished with this portion, you finished the five-year cycle, you should know what your year one and two needs to look like. So I think, and this is just me speaking, I think you're going to find that you have fewer things that you have to do and set in place, and you'll be implementing and working on your strategies and goals and objectives for the next go-around perhaps a little bit sooner. So you'll still need to address those issues, but probably not quite to the same amount of time and effort that you did the first time. Does that make sense? I mean, you're talking about all your teams and notification and, you know, I imagine. So if you're in a larger district or even a medium-sized district, what kind of turnover do you have in your district? Do you have, you know, 5 or 10% staff turnover? Is that high? Is that 5 people? Is that 50 people? People on the site council who aren't going to serve again, those people would need to be brought up to date, retrained, made aware of the process. You'll want to spend some time with your staff reassessing where you just finished and what you need to do as a result moving forward, those types of things.
I have another question on the initial report. We filled out section 15 to because after our chair came to visit us in September, and, you know, we put all the results of, but it wasn't a full team, it was just the chair that came to visit. And then our chair was also here in January. And I was wondering, do we need to revise the initial visit answers from when the whole team is here, or do we leave that in from
I think the best way to answer that is to leave it a little bit open-ended. But obviously, the chair coming in the fall and in the winter prior to the visit, the OVT visit, the actual visit, that would be what I would consider information sharing, planning ahead, you know, all the prep work,
right,
not to be confused with a visit. And so I think in answering your question, or you answering your own question, what did you do that was maybe premature, or do you need to do some of those things again, including those outside visitation team members, because that's part of what they're supposed to do?
Right.
I would definitely at that point in time, I know there's a question in 15 that reads who were present for your visit. And so if you have your visiting team, that's, I think, 15.2 or something like that, so who your visiting team members were and who were there, et cetera, that would be something that we would want you to make sure that you give us that indication. Really, although we have a whole big list of visiting team members that have taken the training, we don't really know who's participating in what districts. And so that question will give us an indication if people are being used or not used, overused, et cetera, because we can look at that and start seeing where some of these visiting team members are coming from. So that will help us out. Also, I would probably just, Linda, I would take a look at what you wrote at that point in time. And then since this is a report that's going to go to your board, you'll probably want to just revise with any additional pieces that might come up. You don't, so I would read it and see how you would adjust it after your visit with any updated information, because what you want is the most current report to go to your local board so that they can know what that visiting team came and told you and those kind of pieces.
Right. Right.
And Linda, in your particular report, your chair visited back in September on the 18th, and that's the visit date that you have for your OVT. So you'll want to go in and change that your OVT visit will be
March
16th.
March 16th, okay. So
and then right below that in 15.2, it asks simply for the visitation team member names, and it just has your chair's name, which maybe at that time that hadn't been determined yet.
Right. No.
So I would suggest that you and each of you, if you haven't done it, go back in there and open up your initial report and just review it and see if that information from the time you filled it out to now, if that's still accurate or current, or what you wanted to put in there based on your understanding now.
Right. Okay.
So when you go in there and you hit the start button, if you've already saved that and put that in there, that start button becomes an edit button. And you click edit, and then you can go in there and change, and you can save it again after you do that.
Okay. Where is the save button?
It automatically saves.
Oh, it does. Okay. And I go in, because I can go in and edit. I was, you know, playing around with it this morning, and,
because what I see at my end is a little different than yours, although I could go in and look, and I can't remember. Isn't there a submit at the end, which kind of finalizes it?
Yes.
That's not a save. It's the actual submit, meaning you're done.
Right.
Which you don't want to do until after you've gone and presented the report to the board.
Right, right. So,
Linda, are you, I'm assuming, are you the contact person for your district for KISA?
Well, Judy Messerschmidt is really head of our accreditation team, our school
okay.
improvement team.
Okay.
She's a classroom teacher, and I sit in on all of these because I'm the curriculum consultant, and I'm their consultant, so that's why I sat in on all of these.
Yeah, that's fine. Just with the documentation we had, I didn't know because I had her name, and then, of
right.
course, you're frequently here doing, so I just wanted to make sure.
Right. She is legally the contact person.
Okay.
Other questions?
I think we're just in pretty good shape. And I know as we have questions, we can always talk to you and see what we need to do.
Absolutely. Bill and I are both available either by phone call or by email, whatever is convenient for you. Just let us know. We, like I said, we will continue these calls. This week is the call for systems. Next week, we're going to have the calls for chairs. So if you're chairing any school district and you want to be on that call, please do so. We have chairs for years 1 through 3 in the morning and then 4 and 5 in the afternoon. We will present a little bit of information just based on what calls and questions we've had. Perhaps, you know, during this coming week that's related to chair things and visiting team issues. And then we're just opening it up for questions. And this is our effort to be here for you. So we want you to know that we are here for you. And if anything ever comes out, just holler.
Thank you so much for doing these. I always get a new little tidbit of information, and that's awesome.
Thank you, Linda. I call you our faithful person. So, and you're right. I think the questions that come up and the questions that you pose for us also give us some new perspective as well. So I appreciate you all being here very, very much.
Yeah, thanks for taking your time to do it. If you need anything from us, just let us know. Otherwise, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.